The Rambam in Hilchos Deos in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, it talks about Lashon Hara, and he includes V'chein Hamasaper B'Lashon Hara Derech Schok V'Derech Kalas Rosh Kolomar She'Einu Medaber B'Sina, that is to say that a person speaks Lashon Hara, but the frame of mind is that he doesn't mean it seriously, and he doesn't mean any harm thereby. It's just a form of entertainment, joking around. He doesn't have any bad intentions. That's also considered to be a serious violation of Lashon Hara. There's no question about it that this area is very significant in terms of a person's perfection. And it's sort of like an intersection where many different instinctual forces find expression in Lashon Hara, in general, in the whole area of demeaning other people in one way or another. It's based upon, it's rooted in this idea that the only thing that really matters, the only thing that is reality, is what people think. I mean, it works both ways, obviously. That's why people spend their entire life trying to cultivate an image, trying to get other people's approval. And that's why people are so depressed when they feel rejected. All of it, philosophically, is because you really feel you've lost something of infinite significance. The approval of a particular person or people or someone who has an important image in your own mind. Conversely, when you're living in that realm, you also have the other emotions, the need to put other people down. And that accomplishes many things, all of which are negative. Because it gives you a certain feeling of superiority, in the sense that there's reality, that you're a better person somehow or other. Not because you've made any change within yourself, to the contrary, the only change you're making is a bad one, but by measurement, in terms of comparison to others. So you're basically not living in the world of reality, you're living in the world of comparison, which is an absolutely absurd proposition. What does it have to do with you? You have an objective, you have a goal. If you're achieving your goal, what's the difference what others are doing? And if you're not achieving a goal, the fact that other people are not achieving theirs, or let's assume a person's doing worse than you, how does that make you better? That whole idea is an absurdity. Parenthetically, in terms of being concerned about others, the opinions of others, I'm not saying that there's no situation in which that would not make sense. There are. It depends on the kind of people you're dealing with. If people, for example, it's important for a person to stay away from a Russia. The Rambam speaks about being mischaber la Russia. You're not allowed to be a chaver, a friend, to a Russia, because he will influence you. So therefore, if you're talking about being shunned by righteous people because they perceive defect, they don't want to be in your company because of your speech, because of your behavior, because of your midos, things of that sort, of course that should be disturbing. Because that's not simply based upon some quirk, some whim, an accidental factor, they like your personality, don't like this. That's based upon it's a statement in terms of your character. So there you should be concerned. The real concern should be the deeds that have brought this about. That's a different phenomenon. You're dealing with rational people that have reject or choose to accept someone on the basis of their qualities, their real qualities, the important qualities. That's a totally different thing. A person should be concerned if people that you respect for the right reasons, that are just individuals and chachamim, and they find something wrong with you and they want to stay away from you, so then it's a good sign to look into yourself. What if I did there? That's an indication that you've done something wrong. Different phenomenon entirely. The question arises, what about people who make fun out of other people in a certain context? In general, we've established that you're not permitted to make fun out of people verbally. It's called lotonu. You're not allowed to afflict another individual, a fellow Jew, to afflict them in a verbal way. Even if you haven't caused them any physical harm and insulting them, to browbeat them, to make fun out of them, to talk to them in a manner which causes them pain. Now, everybody knows what I'm talking about, because everybody engages in it in this kind of time. When you're upset with somebody or you're having an argument and it's no longer a rational discourse, then you resort to these techniques. And then insulting. You're not allowed to insult someone. to insult someone in a cutting kind of a way, in a way that causes pain, is affliction. It's verbal affliction, and it's a Torah violation. It's a biblical violation. You're not allowed to do that. It seems to me that the case we're talking about, and that is among friends, I mean real friends that enjoy each other's company. So, generally speaking, in most of these types of friendships and close relationships, there is going to be a certain amount of so-called banter. There's a certain element of joking around. And within that, it's playful. It can get out of hand, obviously. But I'm talking about when it doesn't. On the positive, when it remains positive. So, there is a certain amount of teasing. You could ask that question, are you allowed to tease someone? Adults take a tremendous amount of liberty with this. They think they can tease children. They feel a certain superiority, they're always teasing children. Yeah, that's a question that needs to be addressed. Teasing also falls into this category. Are you allowed to tease people? It's sort of a camouflaged way of getting out your aggression.
Yeah.
Because it's not outright. And then if the person objects, it's sort of like, well, can't you take a joke? It's like a double bind, so to speak. The one who's being teased is in a tough situation. Well, again, within reason. See, here you're dealing with subjective elements. Everything is within reason. Up to a point, not only does the person not mind, they actually enjoy it. People like the attention. They don't mind, and it gives them an opportunity to retort. However, if the person doesn't like it and starts to complain, so then you're also vulnerable to the charge that you can't take a joke. That's another attack.
Yeah.
True. But I would say that in the framework of friendships, this element is pretty crucial. Generally speaking, that there's an element of humor. And people enjoy the jousting, the sparring, the up and back. That's true of friends, that's true of groups that get together. That's one of the main reasons why they do get together. They joke around. And when you joke around, invariably you start picking on somebody. When you start picking on someone, it seems to me that there's two directions or two ways in which it can go. In certain cases, the truth of the matter is that the person likes it. He enjoys the fact because he knows that the friends like him, and it's not the kind of thing that he's humiliated. It doesn't produce any humiliation within him. To the contrary, it's fun, and then he does it to another guy. If it's, for example, I'll give you the best proof, would seem that this has been accepted by the whole Jewish community, the frum world, the Purim Spiel. You go to a Purim Spiel. No. If it was us, or the Purim does not give you permission to talk Lashon Hara,
right.
That you don't see. That's a case where, and it's got the endorsement of the school and the rabbis, and everybody's out there and poking fun, gromming, making fun out of each person. In a case of Purim Spiel, where they're making fun out of certain individuals, that's not a license to hurt people. It's got to be done carefully. If there are elements in the material which any objective person would realize this is going beyond the line, that is to say, that the person there would be humiliated, embarrassed, insulted, put yourself in that person's position, then you are, it's not permitted just because it's permitted. It's absolutely usher. It's no different than it would be on any other day of the year. I remember years ago, in the yeshiva, there was a certain individual and certain characteristics about the person that lent itself to that kind of humor. And I reviewed the material with the fellows who were planning it. It was very sharp material. Of course, it would have been funny if you were anybody but that person. But I was wondering, I thought it was going too far. And I told them that. But I said that if they wanted to do it, the only way they could do it was if they spoke to that person beforehand and received his permission. Which I think is a good way of resolving this type of an issue. Actually, they spoke to him and they received his permission. So my sense was wrong. I thought he'd object, but I certainly thought that even if he didn't object, it needed his permission. I think that here, if a person is honest and in control of the emotions and places the friendship, but not just the friendship, the desire to be in line with the Torah, above the enjoyment, the pleasure of the joke, of the jab. Then it can be worked out. I don't think that it is a good idea to adopt a policy to remove this type of humor from relationships. I think relationships, friendships would suffer. I think this is a pretty significant element in every relationship. Husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, there's always that element of poking a little bit of fun, and if it's done properly, it's a positive thing. Oh, you know, he always teases me about this a lot. That, you know, and you like that factor. If she would stop doing it, it would bother you. You say, what's the matter? You don't you know me? You trust me? You want to feel a certain freedom in a relationship. That's part of the freedom that you feel. And if you have like a running joke between you, like a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of thing, like he's always looking for a certain kind of parking spot and I'm saying let's do this, and if she would stop doing that, then why would you stop doing it? You know, then it would be a certain formality in the relationship. Oh, I don't know, because I decided that I can't make jokes anymore because, I don't know, maybe there's a possibility that it might have... Then you think that that's a flaw in the relationship. Yeah, you say it's a flaw in the relationship. What, don't you know me? The truth of the matter is that you have an insult the other way. That if somebody, if you found out that somebody refrained from making a certain joke, they were making a toast about you or something like that, and refrained from making a certain kind of joke. And then you ask, why? And, well, the person was afraid to be offended. What? Me? Offended? You'd be upset with them. Why did you make that joke? It's a great joke. You see, it works both ways. And then you'd be upset that you look at me that way, that I'm so stiff that I can't take a joke. See, that's also a defect. People get upset on both ends. They get upset if you insulted me. That could happen. Well, didn't you know that that was personal? It is true. It's sometimes difficult to know. There are certain things that and others will joke about it because, for whatever reason, they consider it to be cute. They don't consider it to be something that they're embarrassed about. People will joke about themselves. There is sometimes it's difficult to know. Because very often, innocently, you make a joke, and you may, in an area where that person seems to be not offended at all, and then you'll find out that he didn't like that joke. That could happen. But then you'll say, well, we always joke about this. You yourself make these kinds of jokes. Yeah, but the way you said, you mentioned one particular thing, and that really you should have known would hurt me. That could happen. That could happen. But that's not the end of the world. In a case like that, you apologize, and you learn. So what I'm saying is like this, is that one has to be on guard in this area. The danger over here is, if a person loses control, you're engaging in certain behaviors, let's put it this way, just like you have in the physical realm, you can also have in this realm, that there are risky behaviors. Certain behaviors are risky. And therefore, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Drinking, for example, alcoholic beverages, is not the same as drinking a Coke. Drinking a Coke is not a risky behavior, but if you're drinking beer, that becomes risky. Because then you have to decide, am I going to drive, and so on and so forth. So it doesn't mean you can't ever drink a beer, but it means to say that it carries a certain responsibility level. I'd say the same thing over here, that when you're engaging in this type of activity, you've got to be more careful, and you have to ascertain the nature of the person. Generally speaking, in relationships, when you first get to know a person, you're more careful, more formal. It's only after you get to know them that the joking part begins, because you feel more comfortable with them, and you know their personalities, whether they can take a joke. There are people that can't take a joke. There are people that get to can dish it out but can't take it. There's all these different things. But if a person can dish it out and can't take it, I want you to know, according to halacha, that doesn't mean you have a right to give it back to them. You see how the average person looks at it differently.
Because
I was adjusting. You made a point, like it's justice. You made a joke out of someone, then the person complained, and you said, one second, you make jokes about everybody. Oh, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. Now, that may be a defect in the person, but just because it is, it doesn't give you the right to make that person feel insulted. That remains the same. The determining factor in the type of joke that you use, or the teasing factor, whatever it is, seems to me pretty much depends upon the subjective factor. It's hard to say it's objective, because if the person is offended, that's it. You cannot make that joke. No matter how trivial it seems to you. You can't say there's no reason why any normal people in person should be offended by this. You can't use that complaint. If you could say, I didn't know, because most people don't seem to care about these kinds of things. There are things, if you make fun out of something which is completely ridiculous. I don't see why should a person get offended that a person likes to use pencils or a certain type of pen or whatever, which is old-fashioned. Things of that sort. It's nonsense. No one would take it personally on heart. But if the person is offended, you can't say it's ridiculous of you to get offended by it. You cannot make the assessment of the other person's emotions. The only factor is that person is offended. If they are, so then that's it. You cannot do that. You can't offend them. So you can't say that this joke is so innocuous, so clean, that anyone who gets hurt by it, it's their fault. You cannot say that. On the other hand, if the joke, people would jump back and say, how can you say anything like that? Say, no, I know him. He's not offended. I know his personality. In fact, he likes it. So then it's all right. If that is true, if what you're saying is true, that you made a joke and an onlooker who didn't realize it, let's say you joked about another person's taste in girls, or his fact that he's a cheapskate and never picks up a tab, things of that sort, then the other person, well, that's really an insult. And you're saying, no, I know the person. Don't worry, he enjoys that. If that is true, that the other person actually enjoys it, is not offended by it, so then you didn't violate anything. In cases where a person has doubts as to whether the other person would find it funny or not, either you could resolve it. If you could find out without hurting the person, that's fine. If you can't find out, then you must err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good formula to use. Unless you're sure, or pretty certain, you use your mind. If you're planning to make a presentation to a person, you see that too, this is an accepted thing at these bar mitzvahs or at other types of dinners and functions. There's always this idea of making some kind of playful humor when you're introducing this individual and you're thanking the person for all the work that they did for the dinner. There's always a certain amount of banter going up and back. But that's considered to be cute. And his habit of staying up till 3 in the morning and making phone calls, so you pretend like, you pretend that you had to put up with it and everybody laughs, because it's really a compliment. You're saying that he's so dedicated. But you're doing it in a humorous kind of way. That's part of the running of the world. And these kinds of things are dealing, by and large, with things that people are not offended by. And to the contrary, if you did not do it, they would say, why? You think I'm the kind of person that can't take a joke? That becomes an insult. But as I'm saying, sometimes you have to watch carefully because there's sensitivities. If you are in doubt that this person might be sensitive and you'd be hitting a sensitivity, then drop it. Better off without it. In general, good advice. Rabbi speakers get up. As a rabbi myself, it's always good if you have some kind of joke or some kind of line, a quip, because the audience likes that. It creates a certain energy there. And I like to do that, but general, if I'm in doubt as to whether this is funny or whether it'll go over or they'll think it's funny, best advice is withhold it. You're much better off. Better not to have the joke than to have it go flat. So, that's my advice on this area. All right, we'll pause here for the time being.